Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and now we'll talk to the president of the Bronx, Ruben Diaz Jr., mostly about his new proposal for a public registry of anyone found guilty of a crime involving a gun. It's like those sex offender registries that most places have that any neighbor can see, but for gun offenders. And guess what? The local NRA chapter opposes it. Let's talk about that and more with Bronx Borough President Ruben Diaz Jr. Mr. President, welcome back to WNYC.
Hey, how are you, Brian? It's a pleasure to be back, just bracing ourselves for this inclement weather that's coming in.
Indeed. You know, I got that, Mr. President, from Herman Badillo, the long-ago Bronx Borough President. Did you ever hear that when he used to call himself President of the Bronx?
Yes, yes. And, you know, he's one of the pioneers over here. And, you know, I don't mind you calling me Mr. President.
Anyway, what's this public gun registry? How would it work?
Well, Brian, you know that when you speak of gun control, gun reform, and certain gun laws in the United States, that's on everybody's lips from the president on down. And here in the Bronx and in New York City, we've been doing our fair share. You know that crime is at an all-time low as it pertains to gun violence, shooting incidents, and shooting victims. But during my State of the Borough address, not only did I highlight some of the things that we're doing around economic development and also around combating and working with the NYPD, like Peace in Our Streets initiative that we have, like gun buyback programs, but I offered something new, something out the box. And basically, it's what we call a gun crime registry. And essentially, what this would do is that it would put those individuals who have been convicted of a gun crime on the internet, online, and we would make sure that we cast a light on them so that they're no longer in the shadows. In the same way, Brian, that we do with sex offenders. And I believe that those of us who are law-abiding citizens, we ought to know who among us are committing these gun crimes. And so we've been picking up steam, and we hope to pass this in the state of New York.
Do I understand correctly that there already is a New York State Registry of Gun Offenders, but only law enforcement can see it, not the general public?
Yeah, that's an ordinance in New York City. So in New York City, Peter Vallone, the councilman, Peter Vallone Jr., mm-hmm. he was able to introduce this and pass it back in 2006. And you're correct when you say that this gun registry is only made available to those in the New York Police Department. What we're saying is that you and I and those who are our neighbors, we should know who are in our building, who lives on our city streets, who are around our children. And basically what this would do is ensure that those individuals, before they check out of prison, that they give the information to the local law enforcement agency as to place of residence, place of employment, and they continue to check up. If not, there will be a penalty. Again, this is not like the gun registry that you have in places like New Jersey. In New Jersey, they have a registry for anyone who purchases a gun. And so we're not talking about those who are law-abiding citizens. We're talking about those who are criminals who actually committed a crime in the past. And we know, Brian, that, and statistics show us, that usually when someone shoots a gun or uses a gun in a violent crime, odds are that they had done this in the past. This will now let us know who those individuals are.
My guest is the Bronx Borough President, Ruben Diaz Jr. Listeners, what do you think about his idea for a gun convicts registry so you could know the addresses and the names of those among you in your neighborhoods who've actually been convicted of gun crimes? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692, or post to WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. Borough President, you got a shout-out for this from the New York Post editorial page, which began by noting it almost never agrees with you because you're a liberal Democrat.
That's correct.
Do you consider this a conservative proposal in any way?
No, not at all. This is a safety proposal. You know, those who are conservative or those who are Republicans, I'm a Democrat, Brian, you know, they don't have a monopoly. They don't have they don't own the issue of safety. Those of us, everyone, whether you're affluent, whether you're the working poor or middle class, everyone is concerned about being safe, about raising our children in a safe environment. And, you know, we all know that certain crimes are more heinous and certain crimes are, you know, affect us as a society than others. And just like, again, sex offenders, hate crimes. And what I'm doing is I'm offering, because we know that gun crimes also rises to that level. And, you know, I think that everyone can agree, even if we disagree on other political issues, that we have to make sure that our children and our neighborhoods are safe, that we need to know who those offenders are. And whether you're in the NRA or whether you're in the NAACP, this is something that we should all get behind.
Let's take a phone call. Roy on the Lower East Side. You're on WNYC. Hi, Roy.
Hey, how are you, Brian? Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Yeah, so my question was, is there a limit to the time in which this person has been convicted? And I guess second to that is, I feel that drug dealing and drug usage can be as critical or as detrimental to us as gun crime. So where do we draw the line? Because he mentioned what level of heinousness of the crime. Well, we know drugs and the dealing of those drugs have decimated our community, more so than guns, if you want to make a comparative study. And once that person has been convicted and it paid his debt to society, must he forever be inundated with having this stigma?
Our president, good questions.
Yeah, well, the details of the time. So currently we see that in the city of New York, the ordinance calls for making sure that you fill out the paperwork before you get released from prison. There's reporting every 3 years, and there's a reporting time if you move from a certain address or if you change employment. But those details we're working out with at the city level to amend the city ordinance. We also have State Assemblyman Carl Hastie of the Bronx introducing a bill up in Albany, and we're working on a Senate sponsor. In terms of drugs, we believe that's another issue. That's something that could be worked out also with prevention programs, with medical services. We know that, you know, people are addicted to drugs, and one can chalk that up to, you know, health issues. But right here with gun violence.
How about drug dealers as opposed to users?
That's something that someone can take up on another debate, you know, on another issue. I want to address the fact that in the city, in the United States, whether you from, you know, Sandy Hook, Connecticut, whether you're in Colorado, or whether you're in the South Bronx, we're all facing this issue of gun crimes. Mm-hmm. It's something that is pervasive throughout the United States, and we have to do something. I'm hoping that we start at the city and state level, and that just like in other on other issues, that New York becomes the leader on this issue, and other states adopt this type of registry.
Let's take another call, and Roy, thank you. Dave in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hey, Brian. How you doing?
All right.
I just wanted to say, you know, I'm from Bedford-Stuyvesant, and a lot of people I came up with, when you're a kid, you do stupid things, right? And with, like, the record-high stop and frisks, with all the other stuff going on, you know, if you get locked up when you're a kid, already your life is going to be a lot harder. You're not going to be able to find a job. You're not going to be able to do a lot of things, right? So now if there's a registry, too, it's going to be like how it is for sex offenders. You're going to have trouble finding a place to live. You're going to have trouble reintegrating into society, and then what are you going to do? All because of a stupid mistake. It just seems like it, you know, you pay your debt to society, and it's already hard to get back in. You know, if an employer says you've ever been arrested for anything, you've ever been arrested for a felony, you have to say yes. It doesn't matter if it happened when you were 17.
Another good question. Borough President, does it make it harder to reintegrate ex-cons, which I know you're interested in doing? This also goes to the other question that the first caller asked, which is how long would this registry be required for you? How long would, you know, you be followed by this stigma after you serve your time?
Well, again, if you steal, because I disagree with the caller, if you steal a bag of potato chips and you're 15 years old and you get arrested for that, well, you made a stupid mistake. If you jumped a turnstile, well, then you made a stupid mistake. What we're talking about, Brian, is are individuals who committed a crime with a gun, where they shot somebody, where they killed somebody, where they held up the local bodega, you know. And so simply what I would say to that, just like sex offenders or hate crimes, just don't do it. If not, you're going to pay, and you should pay for the rest of your life.
So only violent crimes with guns, not just illegal possession?
Well, the again, we're going to work on those details. I'm sure that different, you know, at the state level, at the city level, we're going to negotiate that. But what I'm talking about is a person who shot somebody or shot at somebody or who pistol whipped somebody or who went into a bank or a bodega and held up the individual or old lady. You know, I don't think that's a mistake. And if you do something like that, then you should pay for it by making sure that all of us. So this could work as a deterrent. This could work so that people know that you're going to wind up being online, that you're going to wind up being on the internet, yes, for the rest, hopefully for the rest of your life. Mm-hmm. And, you know, in most cases, one would submit that perhaps those individuals should never even be out from prison again.
After a
in this case, we're saying if you do get another second chance at coming back into society, then you have to make sure that we have to make sure that you're not going to do this again, that we know who you are.
Let me ask the caller. Dave, has he convinced you at all, especially since he's talking only about people who actually shoot other people with guns?
I got to tell you that this comes off a lot like the kind of tough-on-crime reactionary posturing I would expect. I was hoping that maybe it would be a little more nuanced, but what I'm hearing is essentially the same thing I always hear. Well, if you make the penalties much harsher, everybody will behave themselves, which we've seen with the war on drugs. We've seen with a lot of the buyback programs. It ain't working.
Well, David, let me just ask you this then. Wouldn't you want to know if you have children? Do you have children, David?
I do have children.
All right. Wouldn't you want to know if there's a sex offender who lives on your street? Wouldn't you want to know if there's somebody who discharged a weapon or used a weapon in a violence? So it's the same thing here. I mean, we're not talking about somebody who committed a youth or an adolescent mistake here. We're talking about individuals who used a weapon, a gun. This is something that needs to stop. We have to, as a society, we have to send a strong message. And so all I want as a father of two young men, and what I think you should want, is to make sure that if sex offenders are in our neighborhoods and now we get to know who they are, then we should do the same with those who discharge the weapon so that we know who we have to stay away from and we know that our kids could be safer.
I think, though, that, you know, you're using an example that to me is just not a great example, right? The sex offender registry hasn't protected anyone really either, in my opinion. All it's done is it's made, you know, again, I know dudes who at 19 years old slept with a 15-year-old. Now they're sex offenders for the rest of their lives. Like, there's more nuance to this. And I agree. Obviously, gun violence is not something I want to see in my neighborhood. I've known people who have been shot. It's not a pleasant thing. But I do not think that this is the appropriate response.
All right.
I think that more stringent, intense laws hasn't been helping us.
Well, Dave, I'm going to leave it.
Excuse the pun, but all right, this is not the silver bullet. Obviously, we are doing things on legislation. We do gun buyback programs in, you know, the city of New York and in other areas. We do the Peace in Our Streets initiative. There's so many. We're working with nonviolent groups and everything. But I believe that this goes to the next level also to make sure that, again, if you are young, if you are someone, and we're not just talking about young people, we're talking about criminals. We are talking about folks who shot someone or used a gun. That is not an innocent mistake, and I don't agree with you that we should, you know, be mindful. Those people should pay the price for doing something as horrendous as using a weapon to assault someone or shoot someone or even kill someone.
Dave, thank you for the conversation. We have a few minutes left with Bronx Borough President Ruben Diaz Jr. proposing this gun convicts address registry that the public could see. It was very notable to me that the local NRA chapter has come out against this. I want to play a clip of Wayne LaPierre from the NRA testifying before Congress recently, saying a version of what they always say, which is that you should leave the law-abiding gun owners alone and go after the criminals.
Law-abiding gun owners will not accept blame for the acts of violent or deranged criminals, nor do we believe that government should dictate what we can lawfully own and use to protect our families. In addition, we need to enforce the thousands of gun laws already on the books. Prosecuting criminals who misuse firearms works.
Prosecuting criminals who misuse firearms works. Leave the law-abiding gun owner alone. And yet, when you proposed this, the local leader, Thomas King, from the New York State Rifle and Pistol Association, NRA affiliate, was quoted saying gun criminals shouldn't be singled out. What's your reaction to his reaction? Can you believe the NRA is against this?
I don't, because, once again, this does not target law-abiding citizens. What this registry would do is protect law-abiding citizens. So it's pretty absurd and ridiculous for me to hear that the NRA would be defending criminals when the single argument that they make in terms of protecting the, you know, the Second Amendment rights of law-abiding citizens who want to purchase firearms is that they are law-abiding, and so that we need to go after the criminals. This is what this registry would do. This doesn't speak to what you could buy. This doesn't speak to what you cannot buy as it pertains to firearms.
Where are you? We just have a couple of minutes left. Where are you on stop and frisk these days? Is it worth it the way they're doing it for helping reduce gun violence in the Bronx briefly?
I'm against the way that it's being administered at this current time. I think that when you look at the numbers, Brian, from 2001 or 2002 to 2012, we will see that 500,000, 600,000 people were stopped as a result of stop and frisk. It should be stop, question, and frisk. And when you look at the amount of weapons that were taken off the streets, they're still comparable to what it was like because of stop and frisk 10 years ago.
Even though Ray Kelly says it's deterrent, if people know they might be frisked, then they're not going to carry the guns as much?
Yeah, but I think the ends don't justify the means. What you have is 500,000 New Yorkers, for the most part black and Latino young men, who are being harassed, who are having their civil rights violated.
For not doing anything.
You know, and we're not talking, you know, the majority of those people who are stopped, and, you know, they don't have weapons on them, and they certainly didn't use them in a criminal act of violence.
All right, just tell me real quick, because I said I was going to ask you, the Dow reached a new record high yesterday. Would you say you have record high prosperity in the Bronx?
Absolutely. That was what my State of the Borough was about. We still have a long way to go, but the reality is that in the last 4 years, we've seen about $5 billion in private investment. We have a new Macy's Mall. We have Fresh Direct, 2,200 jobs there. The Macy's Mall, 1,800 jobs coming. We have a world-class shopping outlet like Woodbury Commons coming to Whitestone Cinemas. We have, for the first time, a world-class hotel at the Marriott. So the Bronx is headed in a good direction. Economic development has been our priority. And I think that when you look at the future of the borough in the next 3 or 4 years, you're going to see that we're going to be part of that economic boom.
That was not the answer I expected. Bullish on the Bronx, the president of the Bronx, Borough President Ruben Diaz Jr., thank you very much.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. We have a Nobel Peace Prize winner with us next. Jody Williams, stay with us.